And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 182. And this is another Black and a Half Reviews edition, which basically means no guest. It's just me, Sas Lindenstein. Samantha's on assignment. Welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. I like to think that my reviews might have some humor in it. So, still a comedy podcast. I don't know. We're all going through changes here in 2021. I'm here. I'm going to review three films for you. I got two are comedies. Does that make it a... Maybe that helps make it a comedy podcast. I have the new film, Ghostbusters Afterlife. It opens up this coming Friday. So got that one going on. Just saw that last night. I got the new film on Netflix that was just released this past weekend called Red Notice, starring Dwayne Johnson and Ryan Reynolds. And then another new film on Netflix called Passing, written and directed by Rebecca Hall in her feature debut. And that's a good one to go over because I believe we may be looking at some that may be an Academy Award nominee, I think, for several reasons. So those are the three I'm going to review today. I'm already excited about next week's reviews because I already got them. I got a couple I've already seen that I'm just anxious to talk about, but haven't been able to yet. Timing's better for next week. Anyway. Anywho. Yeah, that's it. We're going to do those three today. And welcome to the listeners, new listeners to the program who've come over here. They were listening to my other show, You're Buying a Home with Sas Lindenstein, where I teach people all over the nation how to empower and to get educated and empower themselves in the home buying process. Welcome to all you folks that are listening there. Welcome here, and this show is brought to you by You're Buying a Home with Sas Lindenstein. Check it out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast source from, or go to yourbuyingahome.com and check it out there and subscribe. And thank you, listeners, for coming in. If you like the show and you want to show some appreciation, the best way I know, aside from a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts for this show, Black and a Half, is becoming a Patreon member for just as little as $1 a month. You can become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners for just $1 a month. Go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. Do that. And you also could upgrade that membership for just a few more dollars, less than you spend on Starbucks in a week, probably. You can become an Inner Circle member, like Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Join them. Come. I feel like Darth Vader right now. Come to the dark side. It's not the dark side. It's the Black and a Half side of things. So, those are the couple things that I'm just saying right now. So, we're back in a second. We're gonna review those three films. Okay. Passing, Ghostbusters Afterlife, and Red Notice. So open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 182, Black and a Half Reviews.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by.
Okay, we're back. Wonderful theme music gets me going every time. I don't know about you, I dance to it. First movie I want to talk about, this film on Netflix, Passing. Okay, it's really interesting. It's written and directed by Rebecca Hall, starring Tessa Thompson, Ruth Negga, Andre Holland, Bill Camp, amongst a host of others. What we have a running time on this film of 99 minutes. It's I'm trying to think of the rating on this. I always miss, you know, where I print out, there's always ratings. It doesn't include them, so I always forget. But it should be okay. This is that game that we play where Silas is like, how bad, like how bad does it get for, have to be for Silas to think it's a rated R film? Okay, here it is. All right, I'm right. PG-13. I didn't think it was bad. It's probably just for a little language. Yeah, I was playing it when I had kids around too, so I wasn't worried about them. It's a drama. I mean, basically, it is a film. Two childhood friends have a chance meeting at a hotel. Irene is a sort of light-skinned black woman, lives in Harlem, but she's off on a day, kind of passing as white. She bumps into her friend Claire, who's not just light-skinned, but full-on passing as a white person, and is married to a wealthy white man who does not know that she's actually black from a black family. So it's interesting. It takes place in the 1920s, so that's why that's the relevance of passing is there more, probably more, definitely more than it is now. And the whole film is shot in black and white. It's monochrome. It's wonderful. It's wonderfully done in that. So it follows this chance meeting, and we see this reblossoming of a friendship as Claire's desire to reconnect with her black side, her black community, is kind of being highlighted as much as she enjoys living amongst white people. She's got, you know, and she has kids, and it's just... it's a lot. There's a lot going on in the film. Irene's a successful black woman. She's volunteers a lot. Her husband's a doctor, a black doctor, and they've talked about moving to Europe to get away from America and some of the American racial issues that were showing up then. So not that different from now. And, let me say, this film is, while it is not exciting, there is an element to it that makes it riveting. And that's, and not out of intrigue or anything like that, it's just, it is so beautifully shot. The cinematography on this film is incredible. Just from people, sometimes just from people talking. And just the way they... camera moves with the action of the film is wonderful. Each frame is wonderful. The acting on this is incredible acting. You are caught into this world because of these two wonderful actors, Tessa Thompson and Ruth Negga. They are fantastic, and the directing, Rebecca Hall, wow. She is so delicate with moments in this film. She is consistent with her pacing, is well timed with the rhythm of the writing, which she wrote, so that's good. She should be, but it's just, she brings out some nuanced performances from these actors, and the story is interesting enough that, so apparently it is based off of a book. There's a book with the same name called Passing, and read it, and apparently it gives you the same, from what I've read, the adaptation is very faithful. There are times that it is a little confusing, and I was like, did I miss something? But apparently the book's like that too. You're never quite sure of some things because there's some inner paranoia, I guess, that happens. Best word I could use. And I found myself just watching this and going, like, a lot of time, like, wow, this is gorgeous. This is wonderful. And, you know, myself being a light-skinned black person who has been mixed up with other ethnicities, or at one time I was light enough that I guess I would pass. There's that level of interest for me that makes it a little personal, but I think it is a film for everyone. I think everyone, I think you should at least take a sneak peek in this world, especially as, you know, I think a lot of listeners have been very supportive of, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and such, that if you want to support black artists and the black history, you should really delve into and listen to these films about moments in black history. And Trying to Pass is definitely one of those. It was a choice and a potentially dangerous choice that people made to live a different life and understand why they would choose that, why it was a big deal. This film is an onion, okay? You're going to peel back layer after layer and discover there is more and more about this film the more you talk about it. And that's why I think it's important to see. I think, so the best things for me about the film, top three things. The directing, like I said, delicate, fine, beautiful moments. And that's what I look for in direction. Beautiful moments all tied together on a nice pearl. This had that necklace made. The second favorite thing was the acting on both of the parts. Both parts, Tessa and Ruth, the actors who played Claire and Irene. They just do a fantastic job. And you might say this is like a lesson in acting, and then the cinematography was just so beautiful. Negatives about this: the three things I didn't like about this. One, while I did enjoy the writing, it is at times a little bit, I don't know if static is the right word, but it is. And I'm not sure if it's just the way they're trying to get the characters to come across, but it sounded like it was very word heavy, which I like. But the dialogue, it reminded me of, like, well, people don't talk like this. This is like a play, right? And maybe there was a point of her being so uppity or trying to be. And this was the light skinned woman, Irene, not the passing one. Maybe it was purposeful, but it just felt like a lot. There was times it was just a lot for them to say and that they couldn't quite get it across believably. And I felt like it was just the phrasing of it, of what was being said, was causing that. Number two, I will say, There's some confusion story-wise, which I believe is intentional, the end of the mind, but you don't realize until after that it was intentional. I think you just think did I miss something? And then, hey, maybe something was on the cutting room floor that was missed. But yeah, I'd say that at some point and whether that is story or that is directing choice, it seemed, yeah, I was just a little confused at some times. And I don't want to be distracted in a movie wondering if I missed something. I'll say that. And then number three, I I didn't leave satisfied necessarily. It got me thinking, but there was a point of like, is this story complete? Is it over? What was the story? What was the point? But I think the point is within the journey of this, perhaps. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I really liked the film. I really did. I'll recommend it to people. But there is a what's the point aspect of it. I hope that makes sense. So I think the lesson from this film is something that gets repeated at least twice in the film. No, it doesn't. It's one time. Sorry for lying. It is, we're all passing as something. We're all passing as something, because I think it's not, there is far more to passing than just the black to white. There's passing as straight. There's passing as a good father, you know, different things. There's pass. We are all trying to pass to be accepted by society in different ways, even still today. And that's my number one lesson from the film. And final word on this film is, expect to see some award nods toward this film. If you enjoy filmmaking and you enjoy the craft, I don't think you want to pass this up. See what I did there? Okay. And then, and my rating on this film, I hear, give a 3L system review. Everything it's put on my 3L system, which is love it, like it, or lose it. Love it, that's the film. When it's over, you text a friend. You post on Facebook. You tell people they got to see it. You're absolutely in love with this film. Like it is a broad spectrum. It's something that you did enjoy. Maybe you won't call people about it, but if it was on, you saw it on TV, you might put the remote down and watch it. You don't mind talking about this film, and things that it spurred in you, what you're feeling. Like, it can even be a bad film that you love out of a guilty pleasure, right? And then there's Lose It. Lose It is, I wasted this time so that you don't have to. Lose It is not wanting other people to suffer what you went through watching the film, okay? So, that's my rating system. I think I'm going to give it a love it. I do. It's like borderline love it or like plus, right? But I loved so much about it that's why I'm even getting nitpicky about things like the ending and stuff, which I'm a guy who liked the ending of Lost and Game of Thrones, right? So, but I can nitpick this one because I like it so much. So there we have it. Love it. Passing. Okay. Next, let me get to this other Netflix film newly released on Netflix. Okay. It is called Red Notice. It's an American action comedy written and directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber. Stars Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot. It is, let's see, how many minutes is it? 118 minutes. I believe it's also PG-13. It's a goofy, little goofy. You know what? It's an action. Did say action. Yeah, action comedy. It definitely leans in the comedy direction. I did not know Gal Gadot would be so funny. She's really funny in this. She's got a great sense of humor, great sense of timing. Really, really enjoyed her. This was originally planned to be released by Universal Pictures and was acquired by Netflix. It did a limited Netflix release on November 5th, limited theatrical release before streaming on the 12th. It's generally got negative reviews from critics, but you know what? They don't get the Johnson. Maybe they need the Johnson, but they don't get the Dwayne Johnson aspect of this. This is a goofy film. It is, I mean, sort of ridiculous plot. The plot is that there's these eggs that were gifted to Cleopatra by Marcus Anthony, that three bejeweled eggs were given as a wedding gift to symbolize his devotion, and they were lost. And then they were lost for centuries, 2,000 years. And then a farmer found two of them, and then the third one was missing. And so someone is offered a prize. If people could get these eggs delivered to them, they'll give them a lot of money. They can find the third egg and deliver them all. Ryan Reynolds plays this art heist expert. Or like he's a criminal, but he does art heists. So he's at Dwayne Johnson is this FBI agent trying to find him. And then Gal Gadot plays, she's a bad guy sort of as well. So charming. You're like, well, how are you the bad guy? But she plays a character on it. You'd learn pretty quickly that she's not, if you recognize who she is, you learn pretty quickly that she's on the foil to both of them, we'll say. And it's a fast paced action film. It's very fast paced. Some wonderful cinematography, which I did learn. I was like, that, I think that was shot on a drone. And it was. And actually, it's one of the first films that heavily used a drone for cinematography. I don't know what level camera that was carrying, but because there were some scenes that were like, that's impossible to have done. There was no cut. How did it go in all the way from there into where it was? And yes, it turned out it was a drone camera doing it all. And though it looks like complete film studio level quality, it was a drone work. And so some of this drone work with the camera is masterful. If you've ever flown a drone or tried to film, you're probably wondering how the hell did they do that and keep it all in focus and everything. But yes, very lovely. Then, okay, so it's hard. Okay, because there are a number of twists in the film, so I don't want to give things away. And even I hate that because I just told you there's a few twists, so now you're like, you're going to expect twists. So I have to give some away. But I'd say watch this movie if you were a Dwayne Johnson action film fan. I saw he was in an action film. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to watch it. That was it. And I got what I expected. If I get a stellar film, it is a little more than I expect from there. But I have, without Dwayne Johnson, without Ryan Reynolds, this film might not be viewable. Okay? I admit that. But they are so charming. What they bring to different roles just makes up for a lot. So So there you have that. I am big fan of this. I like the film a lot. My daughter Sierra and I watched it together. We both laughed a lot at things that happened in the film. Is it a good film? No. It's not good, but I'll watch it again. I would definitely watch it again if somebody wanted to turn it on. It's Netflix, so you know it's not going to show up randomly on cable, but if it was, it'd be like, okay, let's watch this other part. Watch this part. Let's watch this fight scene. Ooh, yes, do it. Is it a great film? No. This is definitely a guilty pleasure film. So let's go. Three things I loved about the film. Or really liked. Number one, the comedy. Comedy, especially between Dwayne Johnson and Ryan Reynolds. Spot on. Wonderful comedy between those two. Number two, some of the cinematography. Ooh, loved the drone work. Loved the way they brought it in. It's very impressive use of new tech to tell a story and keep it interesting. And number three, I'll say the story. Story was pretty interesting. Got me through there. Got me through over some maybe. Story is different than script. Script is a lot more. Story, really fun. Fun story. That's what there is. Three worst things about this film. One, I mean, it's not. There's some things that just didn't make sense. That don't make sense. Particularly as when we get to the end, like, no, I don't believe that. But, yeah. Some believability in the plot. Number two, I'll say, I did not look, the acting. I feel bad saying the bad acting because it's not horrible acting, but it's not great. It doesn't elevate me. Some of it's goofy, but it's not the best acted film. For crying out loud, Dwayne Johnson's not known for his acting. I like him in some films, but it's not what he's there for. And then number three. I'll say let's not number three is they didn't make a statement with the film that they could have. I think there was room for a statement in there, and usually these films does, even like, you know, Jumanji and stuff, Dwayne Johnson's films, usually has some statement that he's making through this. And this was just pure fun. There. Lesson from this film. Oh my God. Like they were even trying for a lesson. Lesson for the film is not everything is what it appears. Nothing is what it appears to be. Sometimes it's better. Okay. So. We'll do that. Final thoughts on this film. I am hereby serving notice that Red Notice is a film that you should check out. Okay? Giving you your notice. And I love it, leave it, like it. My 3L system. I'm going to go with a like it. Like it. I enjoyed it. Liked it. Yeah. I enjoyed it. So. Some of you aren't. Some of you aren't going to enjoy it like I did. I know that right now. I have the feeling. Okay. And lastly, Ghostbusters Afterlife. I couldn't believe a lot of people did not know that another film was coming out. You know, originally it was supposed to come out in 2020. But like a lot of other things, got pushed back. And so I don't know if that gave him even more time to work on it afterwards, but, you know, I don't know. Let's see. It is a supernatural comedy directed by Jason Reitman, written by Gil Kane and Jason Reitman, of course, based on Ghostbusters by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. And starring, let's see, it runs 125 minutes. And release date is, you know, releases this Friday, November 19th. I think that's the 19th. That's when it was released anyway. 125 minutes. Man, that flew by. That flew by. This film, officially it's being considered the third film of a trilogy, even though we had the reboot version, which was an all-female cast. This is considered a third one. It doesn't star. It stars Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, and Paul Rudd. I don't want to say too much about who else shows up in it. Because so the characters, most it's a family that comes to, after word of their grandfather passing, who is Igor. Who was one of the original Ghostbusters, played by Harold Ramis. Harold Ramis's character, it was his the Spangler, right? Spangler. He just died. The Harold Ramis character had died. So they're going back to this town to see why he was there, kind of. And he apparently had run out on his family and such. And so I'll say this right, like, this is in the first couple minutes of the film. It starts off action, boom, right into it. And there is somebody who looks like Harold Ramis, the way they shot it so that you couldn't see direct on in the shadows. But you could tell that everyone who knows Harold Ramis films knows that that's him, right? That looks like him. So I don't know how, if they took it from other films or what they did, or they had a great stand in. The way they shot it, it looked like he was there. So it felt like we're starting with the old and bringing something forward into this. So it goes right into the action. And then, the premise. After being evicted from their home, a single mother and her two children are forced to move to a decayed farmhouse in Somerville, Oklahoma, left to them by the late great by the late grandfather, where a series of unexplained earthquakes are occurring despite not being situated on a fault, and strange things are happening in an old mine which once belonged to the alleged occultist Ivo Shandor. The children discover the history of their grandfather with the original Ghostbusters, who have been largely forgotten by the world beyond their fan base. When supernatural phenomenon relating to New York City's Manhattan cross rip of 1984 occur and threaten the world, the kids, along with their family and friends, must solve their decades-old mystery of the relocation of their grandfather and use the equipment of the Ghostbusters and become their successors to save it. Okay? That's the official statement. So, there they do this. It is, there are elements of nostalgia, right, from having seen this in the theater originally, that naturally draw to someone like me. But I think there's a fear when you're going to watch something that draws on nostalgia is, are you going to insult the old stuff? Are you going to just make fun of it? Are you going to rely too much on it, on that fan base? And I don't feel like they do any of that. Well, there's nods to things that happened in the original. There's nods and connections to it. This is a new story. This is it's a new story. It's new characters. We, you know, his granddaughter is kind of the lead in the film. If you were to say there's a lead, it is her. She is the new Ghostbuster. So even though this is not the female Ghostbuster, this is the female Ghostbuster film. Okay. This is it. It is, you are captivated in this film from the first second till the very end, and stay for the post credits. No, stay after that. Stay till the very, very, very end of the film. Okay. Trust me on that. Trust me. You're captivated first. You're laughing. The feel of it is swift. It's a swift film. Well timed. Action comes in and drama when it needs to be to ground this reality. And you know that's the difference between the 2016 all female Ghostbuster version was, I think it was hands down funnier than the original. But maybe Ghostbusters is not supposed to be completely funny. Maybe there is a serious element and a down-to-earthness, which this does. This was not about the Ghostbusters getting a job as ghostbusting. This was a tale about family, a family in distress, needing help, and in their circumstances bring them. Are they in the wrong place at the right time or the right place at the right time? I don't know. That's probably a matter for philosophers. But here, what I'm philosophizing is that this was just great. This was just a great film. You will laugh. There will be points that you will probably tear up, particularly if you are a fan of the old one. There's so much to enjoy. So much to enjoy about this film. It definitely lives up to the original. Is it just as entertaining? Pretty close. I don't suspect we'll see much disappointment from audiences over this one. I think they did a really, really good job with it. Top three things. One, loved the main kid actors, the next generation, Ghostbusters, the next generation. Love these kids. They're fabulous in their roles, particularly to the Carrie Coon. No, that wasn't Carrie. McKenna Grace is Phoebe Spangler, Kelly's daughter. Okay. Yeah, McKenna Grace. Fabulous job by her. Plays Phoebe Spangler. Carrie Coon plays the single mom. Egon's daughter. Egon, I said Ivan earlier. But no, Egon's daughter. They does a bang-up job. Finn Wolfhard, Finn Wolfhard plays Trevor Spangler, who's the grandson. Finn is in Stranger Things and does a great job in that. So reliable. Paul Rudd is a comic relief. No, I wouldn't call him the comic relief. I'd say that's Logan Kim. Is probably the comic relief of this, but Paul Rudd as a main character, but he brings the laughter and helps guide this through, and he's the one to introduce, tell them about, no, in 84 in New York, this is what it was like. These kids knew nothing about their grandfather. Okay. And now number two, what I liked about this, special effects are just delightful on this. These new ghosts are wonderful, and how they deal with them and the other critters, I'll say, that show up. Wonderful. Number three, the respect. I'm going to say number three, the respect that was given to the original and to the original's creators. I mean, obviously it was the son of Ivan Reitman that's directing it. And Ivan Reitman did the first one. So it's, there's so much respect toward the old one while telling their own story. That's wonderful. You'd love to see films, sequels do that. Number three, there is an element to the ending that is a little underwhelming for me. Still liked it. Still was touched. Just, I felt like after what we go through in the film, maybe a little more grandeur at the end, maybe. Don't want to spoil. Number two. You know, it falls into some tropes of not believing kids because they're kids, that I would think in this age of internet, like, I don't know, I think people would be a little more open to kids. So it's kind of like a played out tripe in my mind. Number three, I will say that there was some wasted character development. We started to get to know some people, and then we just didn't get to know them as much as we should have. While focused, there's some things about the characters that I feel like I should know that I don't know at all. Let me say that. Lesson from the film. Two lessons. Number one, the ghosts we carry never leave us. Number two, good things are worth waiting for. And that's what this film is. It's a good thing that we've waited 35 years plus four, and it was worth it. Totally worth it. So, my final word on this is that Ghostbusters Afterlife breathes new life into the franchise, and I look forward to seeing what this next generation of Ghostbusters will be up to. My review, my rating, love it, leave it, like it, love it, lose it, love it, like it, lose it. It's my system. Remember it, Silas. I'm going to give it a love it. Absolutely love this film. You should see it. Wow. Go see it. You're going to enjoy it. And that's the program. That's the program. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you can. Leave a comment. Give us a 5-star review. But subscribe and check it out next week. Got some new great movies for you. Trying to get some interviews in place. But until then, check out my other podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. Check that out on Apple Podcasts as well. My name is Silas Lindenstein with Black and a Half. We're out. Join us. Live long and prosper.